Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with show producer Wells Guthrie. Hoping everybody out there is having a fabulous Friday. And we wish you and your loved ones a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Well, it has been a sensational season for the Atlanta Braves. I know it didn't end well, but 99 victories. And Ben Ingram was a guy who was around a whole lot of them. He did a great job. Ben and I go way back. He actually did the Mississippi Braves and had a show in Jackson, Mississippi. And I would be a guest on his show more than a decade ago talking Rebels and Bulldogs and all sorts of SEC. And he has just done a fantastic job with the Braves. I went down to Athens on Monday and was coming back through Atlanta. And he was taking me through the game up in St. Louis. He's just had a fantastic year. Ben, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
Yeah, my pleasure. Good memory there. Some good memories all together.
No doubt. How many games did you wind up being the main radio play-by-play guy this year? Did you count them up, or do you have a ballpark?
I think it was right around, just shy of 100, maybe like 98, 99, something like that.
That is fantastic. Well, I have to ask, what was it like experiencing that first inning?
And it was it's something I won't ever forget. I know that much. It was, you know, losing or dropping down 10 runs in the first inning is something I've never seen before. But the thing that caught me so off guard was how quickly it happened. I felt like if we had said play ball 5 minutes ago and it was already 10 to nothing, it happened so quickly and just really got out of hand. I don't think I've ever seen a game get out of hand like that. This team hasn't had an inning like that in any game, and as long as I can remember, to see it happen in that game was incredibly disappointing and probably about the last thing any of us really expected.
You know, Folty was so good the first time around in the playoffs, and then, of course, he has a leadoff walk. You think about the Freeman bobble at first, and then, of course, the wild pitch where Azuna's finally strikes out only to result in a run in the wild pitch. What was there a moment where you were, of course, that one was the 10th run, so that's out of the question, but was right. There a moment where you were just like, uh-oh, I mean, this is, the wheels are coming off?
Well, I felt like that after the Freeman error. I mean, you know, we were sitting there watching, they say play ball, and Dexter Fowler climbs in and he walks him. Well, that in that previous game that Foltynewicz had, that game 2 win, he had 1-3 ball count the whole game. He allowed one leadoff man. I'm sorry, he didn't allow a single leadoff man on the entire game. And all of a sudden, one batter in, 3-ball count, and then ball 4, and the leadoff man's on. So he did things against the leadoff man that he didn't do the entire start before in 7 innings. And once that leadoff walk comes about, I'm thinking, this is not at all how we wanted this thing to start. And they get a few men on base. And then I'm thinking, okay, the ground ball to Freeman, this is an opportunity. Limit the damage. Get out of this thing trailing by a run or two. And then he boots the ball. And then at that point, I knew this thing's about to snowball. You just kind of had that feeling. And sure enough, it did. And when I mean snowball, I was thinking maybe a 5-6 run inning. I did not think 10 men would score and have, 14 guys come to the plate. So you lose that game, and it's incredibly disappointing. But for it to be over with 8.5 innings left, that was even more disappointing. You just had to play it out knowing what the result was going to be. And just not the finale that series deserved, because I thought the first 4 games were really, really good.
And when you look at those first 4 games, especially Game 1 and Game 4, if I had to say, and we're visiting with Ben Ingram, who does a great job calling the Braves for the radio network, where you can hear right here, you can hear Braves games on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. If I asked you, if I had to ask the biggest what if you could have the what if moment of this series back, what would it be?
That's a really good question, because it would either be Max Fried in Game 1 or Josh Tomlin in Game 4. I thought Fried was mowing him down. He looked really good. You had a lead late. You cough up the lead. Game 4, to me, that's the one that, even more so than Game 1, I felt like they had. I mean, you're 5 outs away from winning a ball game. I thought Josh Tomlin looked really good. And when you have a guy rolling well in the postseason, maybe you stick with him when a guy looks effortless like that. And that's what we're seeing out of him that day. But I think the biggest what if would have to come and either 6th or 7th inning of Game 4. Because even if Freddie Freeman makes that catch in the 8th inning when they tied up the ball game, you still carry just a 1-run lead into the 9th inning rather than a tie ball game. You had a leadoff triple in the 6th. You had a leadoff double in the 7th. And not getting that run over to third base or not scoring on a leadoff triple, that just can't happen anytime. That can't happen June the 1st, much less a postseason series. So I think those would probably be the moments I'd go back to, sixth or seventh inning, leadoff triple, leadoff double, bases loaded both innings. And what it comes down to, David, is you needed one more hit to win that ball game. And so therefore it comes down to one more hit to win the series. They lost game five to me when they lost game four. I really felt like that was their golden opportunity. And sure, they were at home for game five, but they had the Cardinals on the ropes in game four, and they just ended up being one base hit short and just one more hit with runners in scoring position. You would have won game four and taken the series 3-1.
And the quirky one to me is all the way back in game one with the situation with Martin. And I know Snitker had it situated where he wanted this guy in this inning and blah, blah, because people were wondering why not more of Fried. But, you know, if that doesn't happen, the Braves might be joining the Yankees as far as pulling the 3-game sweep.
Sure, yeah, it could have. I mean, the thing with Martin, that it came down to that to me in game one. If I'm looking for a moment where the game was at a crossroads and went one way rather than the other, it's when Martin walks off the field with the oblique injury. I don't have a ton of confidence in Luke Jackson, especially in a playoff game, and you weren't planning on using him. You're going to go Martin, Green, and then Melanson, like you had lined things up and finish it up, and it didn't work out that way. Instead, you have to go to a guy that I don't think was your best guy. I know he wasn't your best guy, and he certainly has been an up-and-down pitcher and far from consistent in Luke Jackson, and all of a sudden he gets thrust into a ball game when he wasn't expecting to. So that was definitely a fork in the road for me where if things had gone the way that they were planned, Martin would have never gotten hurt. He goes out there, turns in a scoreless inning, and you go on and win game one, and you're right. You could have been that close to a sweep.
Is there any blame? I mean, you know, with fans, you see the responses on Twitter and stuff like that. I mean, is there a blame game to be played here, or is it just kind of, I mean, really, like you said, a 10-run first inning, and even Snitker the other day, it's just like you never prepare for anything like that. You don't have that as one of the possibilities. But do you walk away from this series at all with any kind of blame?
I do, and I don't think you put it in one place. I think there are different places that you can divvy up the blame and say, well, if this happens there or that happens over here, then maybe we get a different result. I feel like, to me, the middle three of the order is you didn't need those guys to go out there and hit 700 collectively, but to have a little bit more power, to show a little bit more consistency, a few more base hits from the middle of the order, that would have changed the result in game four. Freddie Freeman was not healthy, and I could tell. I thought his swing was different. I thought he was trying to compensate for some deficiencies there with the elbow and that hurting and things like that. They just weren't their best selves. And having the quiet series that we saw from Donaldson, Freeman, Markakis, that would be the first place that I would go, because I just feel like if one of those guys could have had a couple of more base hits, maybe it's a different series. So you got to credit the Cardinals because they found a way to shut down the Braves. It's not just the Braves who couldn't get it done. I think the Cardinals obviously had a lot to do with that. They executed and the Braves didn't. But there are just a few little things along the way. I mean, just not getting a runner over, not being able to put a bunt down when called upon, not being able to get an extra base hit when you had men in scoring position with zero or one outs. A lot of that fell to me on 3, 4, 5 in the order, and they had plenty of opportunities, especially there in game four. And that's, I wouldn't place all the blame for losing the series squarely on them, but if I was going to be starting with something that I could change in the series, that's where I would start.
You're listening to Ben Ingram with the Atlanta Braves Radio Network here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. All right, moving forward, who do the Braves keep? And, of course, one of the guys who had such a wonderful year but struggled in the NLDS, Josh Donaldson, what are the chances of him sticking around? Because it seemed like for most of the year to be a really good marriage.
Yeah, it was. I think the Braves got exactly what they were looking for out of Josh, and Josh was able to prove to the Braves and other teams that the next go-round he's worth a multi-year deal. I think there's a lot of mutual interest between Josh and the Braves, and it wouldn't shock me if he ends up back in Atlanta. The question is there going to be a team that comes along that offers him 3 years? I don't think the Braves want to go that far with Donaldson. I think they'll offer him 2 years, and if he wants to stay put, he'll have that opportunity too. But if another team comes calling and says, hey, we'll give you three, that's going to be tough, and I think there'll be a decision that has to be made there. So I could see Donaldson going either way. I don't think Dallas Keuchel will be back. I don't think Julio Teheran will be back. I don't think Nick Markakis will be back. Those are all three guys that are either at the end of their deal or have a team option for next year, and I don't see them picking up those options unless they go through the offseason and things just aren't panning out with some of their plan A, plan B, plan C opportunities, and they have to go back to those wells. But I think that you're going to see this young core be the foundation that they continue to build upon with the young pitching, Soroka and Freed, and, of course, Acuna and Albies and Swanson. Obviously, nothing's going to be happening over at first base. But I think you start to turn towards the future, especially with your outfield. I want to see how close Christian Pache is to being ready and taking over in center field permanently. I want to see how close Drew Waters is to being your next left fielder. And moving Acuna over to right field. I think that's certainly the outfield of the future, and whether or not we see that in May or June of next year, or maybe not till the end of the season, that remains to be seen. But you have to make some decisions on what you're willing to go with that's already in your organization and see what holes are there at that point. I think what they do behind the plate is incredibly important. They need to go get a veteran catcher, in my opinion. Last year they wanted to make the trade for JT Realmuto. That didn't work out. It worked out better for him to make the deal with the Phillies, and that's what happened there. So you have some big-time decisions to make, and I think that trying to find someone who can go to the top of your rotation and also finding a good veteran everyday catcher, those are two of the biggest decisions this team has to make in the offseason.
Of course, obviously, the 2020 Braves, and you just echoed it, will have a new opening day starter because it seems like Tehran's been doing it ever since Rick Mailer did. But when you talk about Soroka and just the year he had, and I know there were questions. I know the home road splits factored into him and just a beautiful performance in Game 3. But Freed and Folty, two guys that were great down the stretch but did obviously their very last memories of this Game 5 were obviously horrific. How confident are you in that pitching nucleus, assuming Sareed, Freed, and Folty are where you build and go out from there?
Yeah, I think Soroka is going to be an ace. I think he showed ace-like stuff this year. He had a top-5 ERA in the league. To me, he could be as good as he wants to be, and he's only 22 years old. And to me, he's the best pitcher you have in this organization. Outside of that, I've still got some confidence in Foltynewicz. I don't expect him to be my number two starter, but I think he can fill out the bottom of the rotation. And so long as he's healthy, I've got some confidence in him. Freed is the guy that I like a lot, and I know that they used him in a unique situation this year in the postseason just because he's a lefty, and maybe you thought you had some better matchups going righty-righty with some of your starters versus the Cardinal lineup. But that's a guy that I feel like should be in the rotation, regular season, postseason, whatever it may be. I love his stuff. He led the team in strikeouts. I think he could be a 200-strikeout-a-year guy with that curveball. And he added a slider this year. So I'm very excited about what's ahead for Freed. The places where I'm curious are, what do you want to do with Sean Newcomb? Do you want to keep him in the bullpen role that he has right now or put him back in the rotation? What does Kyle Wright look like? Is he ready to make the jump to the big leagues permanently? Ian Anderson, who is amongst the best in strikeouts in every league that he pitched in the minor leagues this year, is he ready to make that jump? I'm very confident with what they could put in 2 through 5 in the rotation. I just want to see if they can go out there and land a big-time arm to go to the top of the rotation, to be your ace, to be a game one starter, and someone's going to rack up strikeouts. There are a few guys out there like that, but that are going to be costing a pretty good amount of money in order for you to grab them via free agency.
And, Ben, before we let you go, when you talk about this team moving forward in the parts, I thought it was interesting, and I brought this up earlier this week. Dave O'Brien had a tweet. I guess it was during the game Wednesday when things weren't going well, and he tweeted something about Freeman's numbers, and there were all these responses and a lot of vitriol going, well, I sure hope he apologizes to Ronald Acuna and saying this shouldn't happen in the playoffs, you know, referencing the Acuna running gaffe in the opening game. You've got Freeman, who's been the face of this franchise, and you've got Acuna, who is unquestionably the shining star of the future. Not that these two disagree with one another, but how do you think that dynamic moves forward? Is Freeman still the face, or how do you see that playing itself out?
Yeah, I think he will. I think Freddie Freeman is still the guy in that clubhouse. Ronald Acuna might be one of the most talented players in the major leagues, but he's 21 years old. This is Freddie's team. And sure, there are some growing pains there for Ronald Acuna to go through. He got called out by his team. The same thing happened with Freddie Freeman when he was 21, 22 years old. Nothing that actually took place publicly, like this, the whole situation with Ronald Acuna. But there are times when Freddie was young, was taken under the wing of Chipper Jones or Dan Uglow or Brian McCann, said we should do things this way rather than that way. All young players go through it. Just rarely are they as talented as Ronald Acuna. Anytime anyone is talking about this whole Ronald Acuna bad for the clubhouse, or he doesn't get along with the veterans. Don't listen to that. That makes absolutely no sense. You could have an argument with your brother, but you don't want to kick him out of the family. I think it's the same thing here. They love Ronald Acuna, and they're a big fan of his and what he could become. They just want him to polish a few things up and mature in a few different directions. This is still Freddie's team, and so long as he's here, it will be his team. But Ronald is no doubt a superstar, a guy who I think will go into the next several years of his career as a top three or four MVP candidate. And I feel like should win an MVP at some point here in the next two or three seasons. I think he's that good. But he's got so much talent, and he's starting to get more and more talented and finding out what he can and cannot do in this game. And there aren't too many limitations with Ronald Acuna. So while it might be Freddie's team, I think you could make the argument that Ronald has got the most talent on that team. There's no doubt about it. And I think they're going to continue exactly what they've been doing for some time with Acuna batting leadoff, Ozzie batting second, Freeman batting third. It's hard for me to imagine you have a different top three in your order for the next several years.
Ben, listen, great job. And again, on a personal level, congratulations on the opportunities that you've seized in these last couple of years. I mean, doing more and more of these games, and fantastic job every time I listen to you this summer. And rest that voice, and hopefully I see you soon somewhere down the road.
You got it, man. Looking forward to it, David. Thank you.
All righty. Ben Ingram with the Braves Radio Network does a fantastic job here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. 648-1051 would be the number. We'll introduce the Papa John's poll question when we come back. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.